Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Well, here we are, another week in Ephesians, looking at quite an amazing prayer.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Kevin.
Happy birthday, man.
Thanks.
What are you, 29 now?
29.
That's 29 and holding or 29?
No, that is legitimately yeah. 29.
See, I'm legitimately 29 and holding.
29 and holding. No, I have one more year in my 20s.
Oh, man.
I have to live it up, right?
Yeah, whatever live it
means.
Up.
Not sure what that
yeah,
means.
Yeah, live it to the fullest with your three kids in tow.
Right.
And a lovely wife.
Yes.
Yeah, not a problem. That's good, though. Happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so we had quite an adventure this week. We were informed on Saturday before church started that our town decided to adopt a mask bylaw, I guess. So it was a bit of a hard, I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like being told what to do at the best of times.
Right.
And especially by a stranger who doesn't have a clue about my life. Mm-hmm. And then telling me, okay, you got to do this. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was I felt very much like, show me some data. If you can give me some proof that what you're asking me to do will actually help, mm-hmm. then I'd be much more willing to abide and help out and support. But right. no one seems to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And the more you dig and find out what you can find out through looking at the government website about numbers, actual numbers, mm-hmm. it seems like it's a little overblown. And so I felt very angry mm-hmm. because I had contacted the mayor. I'd talked to him, or I'd sent him an email rather.
Right.
And tried to persuade him, and didn't seem like I persuaded anything. But at least I did my civic duty.
Right.
And I felt that my email was not, what would you call it, like rude or malicious mm-hmm. in any way. It was hopefully supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to get my point across that these rules don't seem to be working. It's like we're going back to the same grinding wheel and asking it to do something different.
Right.
And why would it? Because the first time around didn't work, so let's try it again.
Right.
Because that's how you run things, right?
Yeah.
What's that, the definition of insanity, right?
Right.
Doing the same thing
yeah.
over again, expecting yeah. different results. Anyway, so I ended up on my knees
yeah.
saying, God, you got to speak to me, because this passage of Scripture is so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's emotive. It's heart-driven.
Right.
And if I didn't deal with that angry edge inside of me before I got to this mm-hmm. passage, I was concerned that I would spread that anger throughout the whole congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that. And so the Lord was good. Like, he just sort of showed me again from Scripture, like, I'm in charge here, not mm-hmm. the mayor.
That's right.
He may think he's in charge,
right.
but God is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are called by God to be submissive to our authorities. And the question that came to me was, had he asked me or us to do something that isn't biblical?
Right.
And the answer, of course, is, of course not. So I had to deal with it. I had the Holy Spirit helping me deal with this issue.
Right.
So that I could stand in the pulpit on Sunday yeah. and proclaim with all urgency and passion myself without sounding angry.
Right.
And I believe the Spirit of God did that through me,
yes.
so I was happy about that.
Yes.
But I just wanted to give you that backdrop, because right. I think it actually applies even to now the new rules that have come out from the provincial government.
Right.
Same thing applies.
Definitely.
We need to be submissive to our governments. We need to pray. And when those were written in the Scriptures, that we're talking about Nero.
Right.
So,
it's not like Christians
yeah.
back in Paul's day had these fantastic
yeah.
rulers who
no.
were just looking out for the best of everybody.
Exactly.
They were power hungry,
yeah.
ruthless,
yes.
violent
mm.
leaders.
Mm. And you could end up in the lion's den.
That's right.
For, you know, breaking the rules, I guess, in
right.
that sense. So I think, you know, maybe I'm naive, I guess, but I think we've got to march forward gently, take advantage of the democratic process with creative, without malice or anger or, you know, spitting bitterness or whatever across everything. But still participate and bring the peace of Christ to bear. Be peacemakers.
Yeah.
And so I think that applies. And as you go into this passage, one of the things that we're going to get to eventually is the whole idea of how to treat each other and be submissive to authority and be submissive to one another. And you can't do that if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that's what this prayer is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, maybe I talked too long at the beginning there, but wanted to kind of give you the backdrop of what I was coming into as I was preparing to preach this.
I think that's a challenge that, you know, it's so easy to allow our emotions and our biases to seep through. And as a pastor who's standing up, given this platform to speak from, you have to be so careful that, you know, we aren't pushing our own agenda. We're preaching Christ and Him crucified. And I think that that pertains to every believer. Ultimately, our calling is to all preach Christ and Him crucified. Not personal agendas, not personal opinions. Don't let these other things, yes, they're frustrating. We don't understand them all. But let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Mm, amen to that. Keeping the main thing the main thing. Mm. So on Sunday, we approach this prayer with kind of the attitude of, this is a similar type prayer to the one that's found in chapter 1, for one thing. So this is the second time that Paul has been like utterly amazed, even by what I think by what he's writing,
right?
Because the Spirit of God is inspiring him. He's writing it all down, and I think he just has to stop and catch his breath and just breaks into prayer, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
And of course, those prayers are full of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so I kind of feel a little bit like this has the overtones of the Lord's Prayer, that we can pray it like we do the Lord's Prayer. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right.
But this prayer is similar, and we could use it as a guide for our own prayers. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but one of the things, you know, you've been ministry now, what, about 8-9 years, something like that? Mm-hmm. And I've been ministry over 30 years. But one of the things that I personally have to work hard at is prayer. And one of the conversations that you have with people very, very often is how weak or anemic, they don't use that maybe that word anemic, but they feel like their prayer life is really weak and and it's not full of vigor and power. It just seems like I get a list, I tick off my list.
Pray that grandma gets better. Pray that we have a good weekend. Pray that we sleep tonight.
Yes. So that was part of the reason why I wanted to kind of prop this prayer up and make it so attractive to people that struggle, like me, like, I don't know about you, but I know for me, you know, that alone time with God, that's a hard thing to maintain and discipline. It seems like if I miss it for a few days, I've already started down pedaling. Okay, I got to get back up on the bike. I got to start riding the prayer thing again. And because I think my, I think part of it is my personality. So if you're like an extroverted, people-driven kind of personality, well, spending alone time in the closet with a God you can't see and most of the time can't hear is difficult. Like, that's your prayer life, right? I mean, that's not just your prayer life. I mean, prayer life is huge. And it can be very much attached to even how you're thinking. That's what I've come to believe. But just encouraging some folks out there with their prayers. So how do you, like, do you stay fresh, or do you have a, like a prayer journal or something like that that you follow or do when you pray?
For me, I don't know if I have undiagnosed ADD, but I have a hard time staying focused in prayer. I find I start praying about something and then I start thinking about that thing. And then all of a sudden I find myself 5 minutes later, I haven't been praying. I've just been thinking over the situation over and over again. Or off to another subject.
Right.
So my brain just gets going. And so for me, I found using scripture as a basis for prayers is extremely helpful because whether it's an actual prayer that's written out, like this one here that we're looking at, or just taking a passage of scripture and working my way through, praying through that passage of scripture, it gives me something to look at and focus my eyes and my mind on So then, even if I do find myself a little bit distracted, I don't have to come up with a way to get back on track. I can look straight down at the page, read through the prayer, read through the passage, and know, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I can pick up my prayers.
Mm. There's something even to be said for like liturgy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, for the last couple of years, I've been walking through in a devotional way ancient writers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a devotional book set up in such a way that you read a passage of scripture and then you look at several of the early church fathers' mm-hmm. writings about that passage.
Oh wow!
And there's always a prayer at the beginning and always a prayer at the end, and it's liturgy. It's mm-hmm. it's something that you're supposed to say together.
Yeah.
And I have found like some of those prayers are just rich.
Yeah.
And full of just these insights that come from the passages that you've been studying.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that it's given new language to my prayer. I don't know if that makes sense, but
right.
it's given me a new way of thinking through a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Basically, it's based on the passages, but it's not word for word the passages.
Right.
It's the concepts. It's the building blocks.
Yeah.
And then it's intertwined with this prayer. And it's almost like it's a fairly regular ending through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like it just seems like that's a common ending through Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, I started thinking about that. It's so true because now that we've been in the book of Ephesians now, this is the end of chapter 3. It's pretty hard to escape the fact that Paul is driving hard at everything being in through,
Christ.
Around,
yeah.
supported, foundational, above,
right.
beyond, around, surrounding, in, out, up,
yeah.
in Christ, right? So it's kind of fun because you're working your way through this prayer, and some of them are quite long, actually,
mm-hmm.
but most of them are maybe 3 or 4 sentences, and then it says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
Right.
And I just found that very refreshing to be able to expand my sort of vocabulary around prayer. And yeah, it's been kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to this passage and you see that Paul, for the very, like connected to when he was actually in Ephesus,
yeah.
on his knees, saying goodbye to those elders,
mm-hmm.
again, he finds himself on his knees. And you can't escape this sort of passionate, non-Jewish approach
right.
to praying. He breaks with tradition, but because Jews would always stand to pray. You know, you've seen them at
right.
the Weeping Wall.
Yeah.
They're all standing, praying,
mm-hmm.
kind of doing that bowing thing.
Right.
But the traditional way was to stand. But here he is again. And I wonder if isn't that heart connection, you know, with those
mm-hmm.
elders that he left behind, that he was kneeling on that sandy beach there somewhere near Turkey.
Right.
and praying with those guys, and they were hugging each other and kissing each other and
mm-hmm.
weeping together. And they were so sad to see him go. And you just feel this emotional tug that you can connect to Acts chapter, I think it's 20. And you can see him here again as he contemplates what he's actually writing, not only for himself, but for these believers in Ephesus. He's on his knees
mm-hmm.
and he's opening up his heart. And I just think that like when do you hear people pray like that? I mean, did you ever grow up going to prayer meetings or anything like that where you just notice, wow, that guy really knows how to pray. I feel like I'm in heaven. Like
yes.
I'm on my way to heaven
oh,
as I listen
definitely.
To this guy pray.
And there's people that it's, you know, wow, I want to pray like them.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where it isn't just words,
mm-hmm.
but there's passion.
Yeah.
There's emotion behind it. It
yeah.
isn't just a verbatim, we pray for this, we pray for that.
Yeah. No, I do remember going to prayer meetings with my dad. He'd go to the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and there'd always be the same sort of people. It's a little bit like our prayer meetings, almost always the same people
yeah.
who have some kind of passion or gift even that comes to prayer. When it comes to prayer, they're eager to pray together for
mm-hmm.
what's happening. And I remember listening to some people pray and thinking to myself, I think that was the exact same prayer he prayed last time
yeah.
we were here. You know, but I don't think, maybe other people noticed, but nobody was going to say anything.
No.
But, you know, good old, you know, Einar or whatever his name was, you know, and it was exactly the same. You could almost say it ahead of time what
right.
he was going to say. That was his prayer meeting moment, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I don't want to make fun because he's still praying. And in his mind and heart, he was probably imploring the Lord. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
It's just from the outside looking in, it felt a little dry or a little staged. Mm-hmm. But this one is definitely not that. So you come to this guy. He's on his knees. He's calling out to the creator of everything. And he's imploring that out of his unlimited resources, mm-hmm. which I found was thrilling.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that some of my resources are definitely limited.
Yes.
But he has unlimited resources to empower us in the innermost being through his spirit. Mm-hmm. To me, I think when I was preparing for that, I just let that soak. I let it just wash over me because I think too often we forget in our busy day-to-dayers, just going after life and doing our stuff, we forget to implore the unlimited God who has unlimited resources mm-hmm. to unlimitedly power us in the innermost being rather than my brain or,
right.
you know, living from my brain. And I think that's what I was trying to say on Sunday too, was I feel sometimes like my brain gets in the way of my heart.
Yeah.
And I say that carefully because I don't want people to hear that doctrine is not important. It is essential.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean, this is doctrine.
Like, right.
We're teaching doctrine.
Yeah.
But at some point, it has to move past my head knowledge mm-hmm. and it has to enliven my heart. Mm-hmm. And if I live always cerebrally or like through a doctrinal stance or that kind of, if I live that way, it's dry as burnt toast
yeah.
to live like that. Mm-hmm. It's got to have the empowering passion of the Spirit mm-hmm. deep within me from the yeah. very resources of who I am, applying his unlimited resources to that area of my life.
Right.
And so I just felt like it was such a powerful thing to just let that sit and soak. Mm-hmm. And I think we should pray that for ourselves often.
Definitely.
And pray it for our spouses, our kids, our families, our church, you know, we need to pray these prayers. And I believe that they're spirit inspired. So all you got to do is change a few names, change a couple right. sentence structure thingies, and you're actually praying an inspired prayer.
Right.
Why not use it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I was caught for a few years in this. I think it's all in the head. It's all in the head. It's all in the head. And if you just tell yourself these truths enough, get it in your head, you're going to be fine. Just go through life.
Yeah.
We can't ignore the heart. These things have to soak in. They have to go deep and put down those roots into our emotions, into our hearts. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing as they do that, they become so much more than just words on a page. They become so much more than just truths to be memorized. But they become the source of life and the source of that God uses to pour into us. Mm. You know, there's any number of facts about God that we can and should memorize. There's things, you know, Paul spent these first three chapters telling us all these amazing truths about who God is, who Christ is, who we are in Christ. And it's so vital that we know those things. But if it stays at head knowledge, then what good does that actually do us? Mm-hmm. If we aren't seeking him in prayer, asking God, take these things down deep within me, change my emotions to where I can experience you fully, experience not just the knowledge of you, the head knowledge, but fully experience you in all of my being.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're spot on there because it's a matter of making sure, like, as I read and studied some of this stuff, I didn't get to go down some of these rabbit trails, mm-hmm. but when you're studying, you can.
Right.
But a lot, in fact, two or three of the writers and a couple of the blogs and a couple of the speakers, they were very concerned about the next generation. Mm-hmm. And as you get to the end of this prayer, it talks about, you know, the next generation forever and ever, amen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think with good reason, they connected the dots. Because if you think about how our children grow up in the faith, it's a lot of Sunday school. It's school. Right. It's head, yeah. head, head. Mm-hmm. Everything's head. and very little heart. And we sing about it, and we maybe even throw the odd kind of scripture in there, and the story has a moral story. So again, we're back to morality.
Right.
But I think as they grow up and as they turn to teenagers or as they approach university and they go away to these public institutions and for training, or they go out into the workforce and they are bombarded with all kinds of evil thoughts and all kinds of gross conversations and lewd jokes and powerful pressure applied to them to laugh along or to go along or to get along, to go along, to get along, you know, and the pressure is immense. And if all you've ever heard and seen your whole life is somebody who spouts scripture, and yet at the same time it doesn't seem to affect their heart, how they actually live, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to, well, you lose because it's just all in your cranium.
That's right.
You know? All you're doing at university is replacing some grain matter with other grain matter, you know, and you lose your heart, you lose your way. And I think that's a tremendous price that we pay if we decide to strictly go down the road of just our heads. And I can remember being around people who had heart. I can be around, I can remember growing up with people who had head, very little heart. And it was this weird sort of walk, okay? The guy with the head stuff was always cynical and glancing sideways at people who were sort of the spiritual stuff. And the guys who were the spiritual stuff were always doing the same thing, glancing sideways, all these guys, all these dry rules. And there was this tension that was there when in reality, they should have come together.
Right, definitely.
Because you need both.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think sometimes we as church members, we like right now especially, hey, there's heaps of online preachers. You can get any flavor of the gospel you like, which is a problem because there's too many.
Definitely.
And it's what you like rather than actually what actually does the scripture say. And staying very close to it. But at the same time, hey, you got to live this stuff out. And I think that's why this prayer is here. He's come to the close of his thoughts about theology and doctrine, all the stuff that's crammed up in your head now, that you know that God has blessed us in the spiritual realms with every spiritual blessing. You know that he has rich mercy. You know that he has rich grace. You know that the unsearchable riches of Christ have come to you. All of this stuff costs us zero. It's zero. All I have to do is believe. Right?
That's right.
But then now what happens is the focus of this prayer is a beautiful transition. It's like a bridge going from one side to the other. So now we've got our head knowledge. Now we've got our hearts pumped up with joy and our emotions are tingling with that sense of God's presence. And now it's time to obey.
Right.
And without that inner power of the Holy Spirit, I think you just give up. You become rule-driven and...
Right, it becomes legalism. It's following the rules. And it's
dry as yesterday's burnt toast.
Right. and so this prayer is absolutely essential. Like if you rip this out, then you jump from head knowledge to following a bunch of rules, living a certain way, and you miss the empowerment and the joy and the overwhelming greatness of Christ's love that empowers us and motivates us to actually live out what we've just been taught.
Yeah. No, I think that's very accurate. You got to live out this life from strength and love. Because that's what he's praying here too. He's saying that you could grasp together with all God's people. You can grasp. And I like that word grasp. It was as I looked at it in the original language, it didn't quite come across as grasping. It was more like taking hold with a firm grip. You know, that sort of idea.
Right.
So you're grasping, you're holding on to that because you're going to need that love, that sense of God's love for you, high, wide, deep, long, that sense of his love for you as you go forward obeying him. And really what happens is when you start living out your Christian life in the public arena, there's going to be public pushback.
So right now we're in the closet. Right now we're in the scripture. We're right. learning all this wonderful, juicy, lovely stuff. As soon as we move out to obedience, okay, now we're out in the open.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like Uriah the Hittite. You know, David sent him out to the battle lines and told Joab, his general, to pull back and leave him standing there against the enemy. And he was, of course, killed.
Right.
So David effectively murdered him because he had slept with his wife. But the idea that when you step out, you're now the target.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to think of it. Because right. when you begin to step out and when you begin to live by moral fiber but based in love and character driven by Christ and holy character, you're going to rub some people the wrong way.
That's right.
And you need to be full of love, and you need to have a good, firm hold of that love to march forward with it as you go into chapter 4, 5, and 6.
Right. No, I think that's huge. You know, I think when we hear the word grasp, we can almost think, you know, grasping at straws. Like we're, you know, we might grab it, we might not. Grasping is kind of this.
Right. Just, you know,
barely grab it. Maybe not. But no, this grasping is firmly holding on to. So Paul isn't, you know, here praying, yeah, I hope you get a glimpse of his love. And, you know, I hope you can, you know, somewhat grab a little bit. No, no, no. Paul says, I want you to know. I want you to firmly hold on to with all your might.
To know a love that goes past your brain.
Yeah.
To know knowledge, to know love that is unknowable. That's really what he says there. He comes up to that point, eh? And what a beautiful way of saying it. Because really, truly, this love that you have, that God pours into your lives, and it's the lavish love of God that he's given to us, it is sacrificial at its heart.
That's right.
And if you just try to brain it up and say, oh, yeah, well, I know that God loves me because it says in John 3:16 that he loves me, you're gonna fall flat. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's true, he loves you, and that's nice to have in your brain. But if it's only running around your cerebral cortex, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Right? Because you're going to now falter and fail when it actually comes to displaying sacrificial love.
That's right. I mean, you think about any relationship you have, whether it's in your marriage or with your kids, love for the other person has to go beyond the head it to be meaningful, for it to be something that's enjoyable. I don't just love my wife because I know truths about her that I like. No, my love for my wife goes so much deeper. And it's the same with Christ. Like, just to know he loves me, just to know these facts that he loves me, okay, yeah, that's great. But to know it, like, that's life-changing.
If you tell your wife you love her every single day of your life but don't do anything to show it, it won't be long before she doesn't believe you.
That's right.
Even though you're saying all the right things. You're saying, what do you mean? I tell you every day I love you. But if you don't demonstrate it, who cares?
That's right.
Yeah. It's empty words. It's dry like yesterday's burnt toast. It just doesn't work. And again, I think that's why we falter when it comes to the end of this prayer. And he talks about for all generations. That's where I think we falter. We falter because we pass truth down, which is good, but we don't pass the heart down. The action, the sacrificial display of what it means to be a Christian and to live a life worthy, which is what he goes on to talk about in chapter 4, that you get to preach on next week. This coming Sunday.
Yes. You know, I think this gets us to the point where we can think, you know, it's so important for parents to genuinely live out their faith in front of their kids.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because as parents, it's tempting to just put on the knowledge hat, where we're teaching our kids knowledge. We don't want our kids to see our mistakes. Well, they're going to see our mistakes.
Yeah.
We don't want to admit to that to our kids. But when they are able to genuinely see the love of Christ in us, to have us apologize, look, Daddy did this and I shouldn't have. I'm sorry. Talk to your kids. You know, you did something wrong, but look, Jesus gives us grace. And here's what grace is. It isn't just do this, do that because I tell you, but there's grace and there's love. And again, that's moving beyond the head knowledge, beyond the rules. Our kids are going to see the genuineness of Christ's love for them.
I think one of my favorite memories with my kids is picking them up after school and debriefing. Or if I didn't get to pick them up after school, they had to ride the bus or whatever, and it would become at home at dinner around the table. Some of my favorite memories and favorite conversations were about what happened at school today. And instead of asking what you learn, I tried to avoid that because almost always it was I don't know. But if you ask them, like, what happened today at school? Right. Oh, there's always a story, yeah. Right? And 9 times out of 10, I kid you not, 9 times out of 10, there was hard lessons about bullying, about lying, about cheating, about pushing, shoving, stealing. These were being mean to somebody, those kinds of what would you call them? Sort of, I guess, negative lessons of life.
Right.
And then to be able to weave the gospel into that conversation and say, well, how do you think Jesus would want us to have done that differently? Or like, right, if it was one of my kids who got involved with it, or if it was something they saw, how now you know what it's like because you were on the receiving end,
right?
Like someone bullied you, and so now you know why Jesus says we have to love people and be kind, because this is how it feels for them. And so you're kind of like, you're attaching truth to emotion, you're attaching truth to stories and out of their day. And again, I think back to my time as a dad around the table, and Cheryl and I having conversations about what happened at school today, boy, definitely highlights for me to be able to to be able to intersect head knowledge with heart work.
Yes.
How do I live? How do I get my kids to live this out?
Yeah. You know, we're starting to see that our girls are 4 and 5, and they're getting to that point where, you know, it's beyond just obeying because mommy and daddy. Sometimes it's mommy and daddy said it, you need to do it.
Yes.
But
most times.
Right? Yeah. Most times, yes, at this age. Yeah. But those moments where you're really working on them, trying to get to the heart, and then you can see in their eyes when it clicks.
Mm.
And it's their eyes open up and you can tell they understand and they say, I'm sorry, daddy. I'm sorry, mommy. And you can tell you've gotten to their heart.
Yeah.
Well, that speaks volumes beyond just, this is the rule, follow it. Jesus is about rules, follow the rules.
Yeah.
Well, that's not it.
Yeah.
Now, for the one time that I feel I do it right, there's probably half a dozen or a dozen times I do it wrong.
That's why there's grace liberally applied to this process.
We talk about grace a lot in our house. Daddy needs grace. Mommy needs grace. Kiddos need grace.
Yeah. The riches of his glorious grace.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's very true. No kidding. That cute little story that I ran across from Reader's Digest about that little boy, Tommy or Billy, I can't remember his name, being told to sit down in the backseat of the car.
I'm standing up in my heart.
Yeah. I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. So you didn't change anything. You know, nothing was changed the heart wasn't touched. Yeah.
And again, this is impossible to do without the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I think it's amazing that we're given this prayer. And so we don't have to flounder. We don't have to get frustrated and give up. But we can come to God over and over again, knowing that we're going to be met with grace.
Yeah.
Knowing that we can pray that we will be strengthened with power through His Spirit.
Amen.
And that's a prayer that we know He's going to answer yes to, because it's a prayer He's given us to pray in His Word.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
You want to pray a prayer that you know God's going to answer yes to? Pray one that He's given you in Scripture.
You cannot go wrong.
Right?
The other thing I like about this is when He puts this last sort of, I'd say, icing on this first paragraph, where He says, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Like, you will be filled to the fullness of God in you. It almost sounds impossible.
Yeah.
How do I stuff all that God is into me? Like, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like it can happen. But here He is saying this is how it works.
That's right.
That His goal is to fill us with the fullness of everything who God is stuffed into me. And I just can't, okay, my brain doesn't work.
Right.
But my heart goes, give me more, you know? I just love that. It's just so.
We were made for eternity.
Yeah.
I think it takes eternity
to
comprehend, to experience.
And yeah. That's what I want for me. It's what I want for my wife. It's what I want for kids, our, you know, son-in-laws. their friends and my parents, my brothers, sisters, families. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them to be so full of God in the fullest measure possible, right? And to just say I can pray that anytime, anywhere I want and know I am praying exactly what God wants is freeing.
It is.
And it's kind of fun.
Right?
Yeah. Oh.
Well, what a wonderful passage to dwell on.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And look forward to next week as we dive into some of the practical of how this works out.
Yeah.
And always being reminded where it's rooted, where it's grounded.
Yeah. I think, yeah, as we move forward in our sermons, we may have to attach a string to every...
Right.
Oh, yeah, let's go back to this prayer. And now look what has to happen. Oh, now look what has to happen.
Right.
This is the evidence of all that you've heard. Okay? Yeah. Praying this through. Mm-hmm. Starts in prayer.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin.
G'day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.